Bethany Williams is an artist, humanitarian and sustainable fashion designer who learned her craft right here on the Isle of Man, studying at UCM Isle of Man. She's since built an extremely well-respected brand, Bethany Williams London, and has collaborated with brands like Adidas, Somerset House, Tate, V&A, and her designs are stocked in the likes of Harrods, Selfridges, Saks Fifth Avenue and Nordstrom, to name a few. She's won numerous awards, including the Queen Elizabeth II Award for Design, Emerging Menswear Designer, and in 2021, she won the Vogue Designer Fashion Fund, a huge achievement. She was ready for the next chapter. But life had other plans. I caught up with Beth recently to find out about her work, her journey, and her new exhibition, which is now on at Bethlehem Gallery, and pays tribute to the Isle of Man's landscape, colours and restorative natural beauty.
Hi, I'm Bethany Williams, a fashion designer and artist.
Bethany, so lovely catching up with you. I follow you online anyway, and I saw one of your recent posts, which really moved me, actually, I have to say.
Thank you.
You're incredibly talented, and you've done remarkable things since you went off to London and created Bethany Williams London, which is amazing. A big thing, of course, being that in 2021 you won the Vogue Designer Fashion Fund.
Yeah.
But at that point, something went a bit wrong, didn't it?
Yeah.
What happened?
I got really sick. I had like a chronic condition that I had in my early 20s, and it went into remission. I saw like a neurologist and had Botox treatment, and that really helped. Then just kind of a couple of weeks after winning the prize, the pain started to return, but it was a lot different and a lot more intense. And like, I tried the treatments and nothing kind of worked, and it actually made it a million times worse. And I was hospitalized in London for my chronic condition. And I had to return home to the Isle of Man to my family for family support, because, I basically couldn't look after myself. I was like bedbound from pain, and the condition was like head and facial pain, and it was very sensitive to light and sound, so I kind of had to be in a dark room.
Which doesn't help when you're a designer, does
no,
it really?
No, when you've got to be on the screen most of the mm-hmm. time. Yeah, so I had to return home and kind of slowly kind of find my way back to myself. And the Isle of Man has been very healing in that process.
Well, that's the thing, because what you've done is immersed yourself in the island, really.
Yeah.
And at the edges of the island, so to speak, as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a really long journey. It's been like a 4-year journey, and I'm still obviously living with chronic illness, but I'm at a place now where I've like returned to work and starting to rebuild my life, and I've just done an exhibition with the Bethlehem Gallery in London around my recovery, but also kind of launching as an art practice, and being home, I really connected to more like my visual identity on paper, which I kind of lost, I'd say, when I went to university. I used to paint a lot, and that at the Isle of Man College and like at St Ninian's, and I kind of lost touch with that. And then I found that I've reconnected with that whilst here, and found like Archibald Knox and the Standing Stones, and kind of like the gorse and like the bleak areas of the island. I found them really like eerily beautiful, and trying to translate that into the show, really.
That's really interesting. So actually what's come out of this is a return to your previous practice, but it's entirely informed your new work.
Yeah, I think I really feel so, and I've kind of done so much research also around like to actually get better and to recover, and like regulating my nervous system again, and like the mind-body connection. And I kind of wanted to kind of put that into the new body of work, and I wanted to work with light, because that was something that was such a barrier for me. And also I've started with ceramic, and it was really interesting. Like, I went back to, like, firstly, I found textile too much of a pressure to like return to, you know, like there was such a block on my creativity after being so poorly. When I started slightly recovering, I made like a life 2.0 Pinterest board. So like of all things I'd like to be doing if I was more recovered, to kind of inspire me to recover. So that was more like growing my own dyes and plants and foraging and being outside in nature and like ceramics. So then I started slowly trying to like tick off my life 2.0 Pinterest board. Mm-hmm. And so I started a ceramics class at the Alamein College, which was really amazing. Like I loved it, and the technicians and there were fantastic, and it was just a way to like get back into being creative without the pressure of like textile and fashion.
What an incredible thing when you think, because, you know, you're a very well-respected designer.
Oh,
and as we mentioned, you know, on the cusp of being even more globally known with the design fund that you won. And obviously then there was this pause in it as a result of the illness. But then to come back and actually go back to UCM and feel like you were learning and really getting something out of it. I mean, that's testament to them as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, you know, when I look back, I'd always say, like, my favourite year ever was my art foundation. You know, because you just meet people of a you're into similar interests, like, I found the course amazing, and you got to explore, you know, people go in and be like, oh, I'm going to be a set designer, and they'll come out being like, I want to be an illustrator, you know, like, because you explore every aspect of like the creative process. So yeah, it was like, it was nice for me going back, because like it was one of my favorite years of my life. Mm-hmm. So, and like the friends I've made on my art foundation, like I've got lots of them for life. So yeah.
We tend to punch above our weight when it comes to art and creativity on the Isle of Man, don't we? And even in fashion, because of course there's yourself, there's Preen, there's Unier, all of these designers who've gone on and done fantastic things. What is it about the Isle of Man?
Yeah, I do think the Art Foundation has a lot to like do with it, because I think they're all, and I think like St. Ninian's, like my teachers there, my art teachers were absolutely amazing. And I felt like we'd done an art foundation there, you know, even before we went to our art foundation.
And to be fair, it is, as you will know more than anyone, it is a very competitive industry.
Yeah.
It is a difficult industry to break into. And the fact that, you know, there are a number of people who've managed to do that and get great success is quite extraordinary. It really is. So it does show that those building blocks are there to give you that really good grounding when you first start out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something to be said as well for the fact that you were forced to take this time out as a result of the illness. And it could have been one of those moments where make or break, really, isn't it? Because you managed to not only keep your hand in, but this new work that you've created has been incredibly well received, hasn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I was really nervous, because I was writing the piece with Vogue, with Emily from Vogue. Like, she was ghostwriting and helping me kind of put it together. And I was kind of glad that kind of came out before the show, because it was like this weight that I'd been carrying kind of on my back. Like, I hadn't really, like, obviously my friends and close family know all about it, but like my wider community, like, it was, for me, it was quite like a private thing that I was navigating. So I feel like kind of relieved that it's like released almost.
Well, the post you put on your Instagram was so powerful.
Oh, thank
but
you.
But it had that sort of creative poetry element to it as well, which sort of draws you in. But it really expressed what you must have been feeling and the kind of trepidation of sort of getting back out there again. So, I mean, how are you feeling about it all now that it's literally all out there?
Yeah, I feel like relieved. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of share my story also, because if it was relevant to somebody else who might have been going through a similar thing, and that people aren't alone in it, because I feel like having something invisible and that no one can see, and like ableism, like within society, it can be very isolating, and I felt very isolated at times. So yeah, I just wanted other people to maybe know they're not alone in that struggle, and it's something that I'm living with. And also like the perception that you can live with well with chronic illness, you know, it's challenging, but it's what it is.
And have you had people sort of contact you on the back of it and respond to you?
Yeah, I've had like lots of people having similar experiences that kind of contacted me, and then it's been really moving. And yeah, like even in fashion, you know, like other people that I didn't even know about had been going through like a similar thing. Yeah, so even people over here. So it's been lovely to have that maybe like sense of community and the shared experience.
And I have to say, you know, thinking about your work itself and what you do, and you're talking about people from the industry that have contacted you as well, it feels like you are doing something very different in that there's that, or maybe it's because I'm not part of it and so I have a misconception about it, but it feels like, as an outsider, I think, oh, fashion industry, it must be very cutthroat, everyone must be quite sort of hard-nosed and everything.
Yeah.
But your whole aim with your fashion, it's about compassion, about love, about sustainability, and there's so many positives to what you do.
Oh, thank you.
Is that, are you sort of somewhat alone in that, or is it just that we don't see people that are like that in the industry because we're sort of not part of it? Do you feel sometimes like you're kind of fighting a battle in your own corner, or are there others who are doing similar things?
I think like when I started, it wasn't like a practice that was like mainstream almost. Like, I think that's because I was bringing the first like wave of like social and environmentalism together within fashion, and I think that's why the Queen's Award kind of had like that, you know, because it was like the first wave of that. But then I feel like it's being so taught in fashion schools now, and it's like main curriculum, and people are really interested in that, and I think it's become the mainstream now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think obviously there's like a lot still to be developed and pushed forward, and like my only knowledge is in like the luxury space, so I don't really know what that is like in the high street setting and things like that. But I do feel like, you know, it's so exciting when you go into universities and see the ideas of like up and coming like younger designers. And then like in the London design scene, and I think even more creative directors for the larger houses, it seems like they're also moving into that space, which is like really exciting to kind of see.
And I suppose it's one of those, isn't it, where you think, you talk about the little high street, I'm assuming we're still quite far off when it comes to it being a realistic thing for everything to be sustainable and everything to be the way it should be when it comes to high street fashion. But it's really encouraging that, as you're saying, in the sort of maybe larger brands or more sort of high-end brands, that it is being looked at as a positive thing, because then hopefully that will sort of trickle down. I mean, are you seeing any of that?
I feel like there's still like, you know, it is really the fashion industry, I think, employs, I don't know if I'm quoting this right, but it's a large percentage of like the world employment, you know, from like agriculture, shipping, you know, like manufacturing, like the shop floor, merchandising, like, you know, like it's a really massive industry, which is really problematic and causing a lot of global devastation, you know. So I still think there's so much work to be done, but it's like it's hard, isn't it? It's like systems design, you've got to like change systems from within and change them from without. So you need people inside like companies and brands like doing that, but also people outside challenging that, I think, at the same time.
And are you sort of working alongside people that are sort of, is there something of a movement now that's sort of gathering, do you feel?
I do feel like there's so many like younger designers who are really like focused in that. And I don't think you can run a business in this day and age without having awareness around that.
So let's talk about it, because I mean your career itself is fantastic when you think of sort of where you've come and what you've done, and again from the roots on the Isle of Man and sort of going off into the world and doing so well. I mean, some of the names you've worked with, the brands you've worked with, what are some of your kind of favourite things when you think back to what you've done so far?
I think like having the kind of retrospect at the Design Museum was, I felt like really proud of that.
Yeah.
Like from a design sense, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was really actually unwell when it all launched, so I didn't actually get to see it. But yeah, that was like a big achievement. I think like my show with Bethlehem that I've just launched, Air Gallery, I think feels very like personal to me and my recovery process and like my healing journey. So I feel like it's the start of something new as well. And like, kind of like I've done all this work to get better and internally, and now like showcasing that as well.
It is very personal, isn't it? And I love the fact that so much of it has come from this place as well, obviously inspired by the Isle of Man.
Because I've been like foraging and growing, and like all the fabrics I've used are from natural dyes that I've made here and dyed here. So that was like a big part of it for me, was like foraging and using like blaberries and things like, you know, gorse, and being kind of like on the highlands. But I did other moments, maybe the Queen's Award probably,
because
that was quite special. It was just nice having all of my people there and like celebrating that moment, maybe. And then working on the Emergency Designer Network.
So tell us about that.
So in COVID, I set off like a non-for-profit with Kazette McCreary, Holly Fulton and Phoebe English, who are other designers. And there was like a PPE shortage. So we kind of worked with like Net-a-Porter and Matches to use, because they're basically, their courier services were not being used. So because of COVID, so they were using them for us, and we were kind of working with factories, and people were on furlough going in like to do this project basically. So everyone was voluntary, we were voluntary, and we were creating like PPE, masks, gowns, surgical gowns and scrubs. And then they were being delivered, well, like taking to laundries to wash, working with, you could be one person or you could be a full factory, could work within the network. And then the courier service would collect, would drop off kits to everyone. You'd make, then they'd collect the kits, it would go to a laundry to be washed, and then it would be delivered to one of 40 trusts that we worked with over COVID.
That's incredible. You must be so proud of that.
Oh, thank you. I felt like a bit powerless at the time, so it was something I could do to kind of support, which was quite fulfilling.
Well, I mean, all that's amazing already, but obviously now it's almost like you've got kind of had a relaunch of your career, isn't it?
Has
the trajectory changed now for where you sort of see yourself being in sort of like 5-10 years time?
I think because before I was doing like the fashion, but I was also doing like commissions for like institutions, which I liked doing both. And then I have like consultancy as well. But now like I wanted to step more into the role of the artist, and I did, my degree was in critical fine art practice, which is like fine art with theory. So you're learning about like what's good art, what's bad art, criticizing art, like the theory behind art, conceptual art. And then I kind of like looked at like systems design and how artists use change systems for like social change, and then I kind of used that formula like in a fashion practice, but also doing like art commissions. So now I kind of am stepping in maybe to being more of an artist with a fashion lens as well. Like, I don't want to shut any doors, but yeah, I think it's been nice to like recalibrate and kind of connect to what I love.
And I suppose, you know, after what's happened, there's also must be that element of your head and thinking, do you know what? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you might as well just run with it, roll with whatever happens.
I think like after what's happened, I'm just like not taking myself as serious.
I love that.
And like trying to just take like one step at a time, live day by day, be in the present moment. Having more hats, you know, like before it was like my work hat was quite a hat that was on most of the time. And then, so it's nice to have like a daughter hat a sister hat, a friend hat, you know, like
yeah.
a swim group hat,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like
because swimming's been quite a big thing for you in the sea, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been for me like an integral part to my recovery. It was just even getting in at first, it was like actually relieved pain for me getting like in the cold water, and that was like gave me some headspace. But then I go down with my mum or my brother when I was like really unwell, trying to like start getting out the house, which was very challenging when you've been like basically housebound for a year and a half, mm-hmm. and then like trying to make these baby steps out. But then I met like a swim group, they've been like, I've made like friends for life, and they've been so supportive, mm. and it was so lovely because they just didn't know me like for do you know what I mean, yeah. what I've done before. It was just me as me,
not Bethany Williams London, just Beth.
And then like just yeah, like no preconceptions of who I am, and they've just been like so supportive and non-judgmental, and yeah, just like an amazing space to heal, really.
Do they know that you've got articles in Vogue? I'm just asking.
Yeah, it was really funny, actually. So we were like a swim chat, and the Vogue, like, was, I think it was meant to be coming out on Wednesday, and then they like it popped up on our swim chat, like the Vogue article, and I've obviously talked about my swim group in that, and it got delivered early to Tesco's in the Isle of Man.
So, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it came out, they got it on Sunday, and it like came up on my chat, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not ready for it to be released. But I'm so glad it came out here yeah. with them first, and the reception from all of them has been so lovely.
Isn't that lovely? There is just something about sea swimmers, I have to say. It's yeah. a special bunch of people. And our sea is just glorious, isn't it?
It is.
So you'll have to go to, I don't know, somewhere like the Heath or something and get in the pools there or something when you go back to London, won't you? Find somewhere to get
just
in
swim.
Cold water.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because the sea has been just, and like the saunas as well, like I've really
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? It's an absolute joy catching up with you, Beth, I have to say. And honestly, your story is so inspiring. Because
you
know, you talk about having to leave the house even, and how brave it is making that step, but you've not just done that, you've also got right back into your new work in a way, reinvented yourself to a certain extent, and the future looks pretty bright, doesn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's like exciting, and just I'm just taking like one step at a time.
Yeah. Gentle steps sometimes into the sea.
Yeah.
Which is a good place to be.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
before you go, I just want to ask you then, if what sort of advice would you have for someone who's listening, who's thinking of getting into fashion, first of all? What would you say to them?
I would say definitely do the Art Foundation. Yeah. Like, because some people are like, I'm going to skip that year and just go straight to uni. And I just think you need that year to kind of explore and develop your portfolio. And yeah, I think, like, you know, Billy does an amazing job and with fashion at UCM. So I think like that's really like an important thing, because also it helps you get into like better universities. And I do think sometimes it's not like necessary, but it is good to go to a London one, you know, if you can for fashion, or if you wanted to go to a different city. But I do think like it's just easier to have to get internships, like you're in the city already and most of the businesses are there. So I think that's like and also I think with the Art Foundation, you may go having a vision of like what you want. Like I went in being like, oh, I'm going to be a costume designer. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to do critical fine art practice. Do you know? And then I went into fashion, you know, like, so.
Could do anything basically.
Yeah. I think everything's so like multidisciplinary, like you don't have to like bracket yourself as a certain thing as well.
Almost gives you like a taster really.
Yeah.
And then you can decide from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is. I have to say, they're wonderful up there. We love Billy. She's a special person.
She
Billy,
is.
She's fab. And what about your current exhibition at Bethlehem Gallery? Then, how long is that on for? Because we need to see it.
Yeah. Oh, so it's on till the end of January. Yeah, and then it's coming here in 2027 at the House of Manannan.
Fantastic news.
Yeah.
This is great. So we can have a little trip to London for fun.
Yeah.
And then come and see it in Peel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a joy. Well, listen, tell everyone where they can find out more about your work, because everyone should be following you, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
Not in a weird way.
I'm on Instagram. My handle is Bethany_Williams_London. And then I have my website. And you can look at the Bethlehem Gallery website to kind of see the exhibition. And then I think it's being photographed this week, so the imagery will be out next week. In regards to like what you'll see there.
Yeah. Maybe you'll have more people using gorse and blaberries from the Isle of Man in their colourings.
Yeah, yeah. I think because I've made like a foraging calendar. So if anyone wants, I can share that too.
Well, that sounds amazing. Where can we get that?
Yeah, because I've been like making it for the colours of the year. So when you can forage different things. So I can share that.
There's a Christmas present right there.
Yeah. And then the Bethlehem Gallery are going to be doing some public workshops. And I think Manx Heritage will be doing a talk with the Bethlehem Gallery as well. And so you can check out their website to see what's coming up.
Fantastic. There's quite a lot going on, isn't there, to be fair, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time and coming in especially to see us while you're on the island. We really appreciate it. And we wish you all the very best. But you know what? I don't think you need us wishing you the best. You're on it, really, aren't you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Your future's looking bright, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
1 to 3 with Christy D. The flavour of your afternoon. Thanks to Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. Open 12 till 10 daily.